Meet Sven.
Oh, yeah.
He's very excited right now. Sven doesn't play poker, but he's still very excited. You see, Sven is a dealer for Porsche, and he's just found out that Poker Stars players earn $7.5 million in VIP points every month. And with our all-inclusive program, that's enough to redeem 5 of the lovely pieces of German engineering every day.
Yeah!
Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to leave other schemes, well, out of commission. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
From the WDAE Sports Animal Studios in Tampa, Florida, it's the Annie Up PokerCast presented by PokerStars. And now here are two guys who think they know how to play poker, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's March 5th, 2010, and you're listening to the best PokerCast on the internet. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long. Bonjour, Cosenza. Come here, tell you.
We.
Travian.
French fries.
No, they're freedom fries, even up there.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I am so stoked to be back in Florida. I was up in Montreal last week. I would like to say freezing my baguettes off, but it actually was very unseasonably warm up there. 0 degrees. Of course, that's Celsius, too, so that's 32 degrees for us Fahrenheit freaks. I actually did not freeze up there, and I got to tell the story. This story cracked me up. We were at a little pub down in the old city, and Laura said, "Psst, hey, look over there. Who's that guy remind you of?"
Oh, no.
And I turned around. And I was like, oh, my God. And she's like, yes, it's French Chris.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, wow, it looks just like Chris, except it speaks French. So I was going to ask you, I'm like, you know, hey, maybe moccasins or paucasins had a little fling during the war or something. And you weren't aware that you had a long-lost French brother out there.
Oh, my God.
But then something happened that convinced me that French Chris is not related to English Chris.
He was nice?
No, he might have been. Yeah, good point. We continued to eat our dinner, and all of a sudden we heard this crash. And we turned around, and French Chris had fallen ass backwards off his chair bar stool onto the ground, drunk. I'm like, all right, no way is this related to English Chris, man.
English Chris. American Chris.
So, well, you know, he's not French. He's Canadian. He just speaks French. So,
well, let me ask you this.
Not English. You just speak English.
Now, you have a phone with you when you were there that takes pictures or no? Did anybody?
I did not, because here's the thing, that the roaming in Canada is absolutely expensive, and I did not want the company to incur $4 or $5 million with the roaming charges. So I turned my phone off the entire time I was there. Untethered from the BlackBerry for 5 days, which seems kind of scary to begin with. Then it got really scary when I realized that I don't wear a watch anymore. So I wasn't able to know what time it was ever, and I did not have a camera to shoot pictures with.
Oh, man, I would have liked to have seen this doppelganger. So
I definitely shot a photo of him on the ground, though, for you.
Well, I assume that you really didn't need a watch, because all you need to do is hear the barkeep say, you know, last call, and then you know what time it is.
That is very true. Very true. Well, I was up there, too. I intended to play some poker, so we headed over to La Casino Montreal.
Nice.
Montreal, but I just like to say stuff in French.
Tell you what, you say French better than you say English.
Yeah, I know, isn't it? I don't know the French word for ace and eighth, though, so I don't know whether they're more clear in that language. But so we headed over to the casino, and this is the casino that people might remember that installed all the poker tech tables, right? So it's electronic room until there was a big uproar, like there is everywhere when this happens. And so they kept, I believe, like 10 of the poker tech tables, and then brought back the real tables and real poker dealers.
Cool.
So their poker there, I got to say, is way cool. It's on its own level. And you go up this escalator, and Laura was like, wow, this is kind of weird. And I'm like, yeah, it's like I'm on the World Poker Tour set, you know, because it had like these flashing lights and, you know, kind of like those angle things like on the beginning of the World Poker Tour show, you know?
Yeah.
And so you get up to the top of the escalator, and it's a real nice, spacious room dedicated completely to poker. They have a couple slot machines, you know, for the folks that are waiting for a table and a bar. But so I looked over to the left is the Poker Tech tables. Nada. No one. Dust everywhere.
Of course.
Turn to the right to the live tables. Packed! So make your own decision on that. But but very nice room. We're all well laid out. I was going to play, but I look at their plasma screen wait list, which is always a good touch. And all they were dealing that day were sans limit.
Hey, when you went all in, did you say tapi?
I did not, because I can play sans limit anytime I want here in Florida. I'm so sick of that. I was hoping to find some limit up there to play. And on this particular day, on a Sunday afternoon, all they had were 1-2, 2-5, and 5-5 sans limit going on. And they had a huge wait list, too. And so, you know,
so
stuck
was
around
it
to watch a little bit and just kind of get the feel so I could give some kind of report on the podcast this week. But then we took off and watched the gold medal hockey game, which was probably more exciting than losing $200 Canadian.
Was it actually un, do, sans limite?
Well, no, they because they actually used the numerals on the plasma screen. Yeah. I imagine when they called you out for your seat, it was probably un, do, sans limite.
Monsieur Long, we have a seat for you in un, do, sans limite.
See, now you're mixing English and French.
I know. Because I don't know that.
Not even
stuff.
Go back. definitely, if folks are up there and they want a nice, pleasant room to play in, at least I can at least advocate that and not actually play. But and I understand maybe that I think they get limit games going sometime. I know one of our listeners from Montreal contacted me a couple months ago when he knew it was coming up. And whoever you are, I'm sorry, I kind of lost your email. So I did not catch up with you. But yeah, there's definitely some poker to be played at in Montreal.
You know, our show used to be so personal. You know, we used to know everyone by name. Now you're losing their emails. You're going to Montreal. What happened?
I didn't really lose it, I guess. It just it's not where I thought it was. Big difference.
Well, where was it when you last saw it? Oh, yeah. Well, from one international incident to another, the Anti-Up Intercontinental Poker Series, we had a winner this week. Edward M. 111 from Louisville, Tennessee. No doubt has heard about our show through our new expansion of the magazine.
Yeah, I think he's been a listener a little longer than that, but a nice way of spinning it there. Yeah,
I'll try
it. I love these cities that don't match the states.
I know, it's hilarious.
Louisville, that's Kentucky. Now, I know there's other Louisvilles everywhere, but, you know, why can't cities get original with their names? I grew up in Columbus, Ohio. There's also a Columbus, Georgia. Come on! I went to school at Marietta, Ohio. There's also a Marietta, Georgia. It's like the same state. All the cities are the same.
I know. But believe me, when I'm putting together the magazine and I'm looking at all the results from all the events, I mean, it's like, oh yeah, I can't eliminate the state there because it's not the real Louisville. It's the Louisville, Tennessee, and it drives me crazy. But you know, we had a call in from our winner,
yes.
And it's actually timely, which almost never happens. So I'm very happy about that, maybe because it was on a Saturday, which is why we have it. But let's listen to Edward.
I just want to call and tell you thank you. I was very excited to win the event two today in No Limit Hold'em on PokerStars. And also wanted to see if I could request a wake-up call for February 2011 when we have the Poker Championship game. Great podcast, great magazine, guys. Keep everything up. Talk to you later. Bye.
And, you know, it sounded like it was an interesting little final there, Chris. I actually, I was in my hotel room in Montreal, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to finish, so I didn't even bother starting, because I didn't want a dead stack, because I know the nation hates the dead stacks.
Yeah.
But it sounded like there was a good little battle there at the final three with Edward and Own the Dream, another longtime listener, and an interloper that was making a bid for the first interloper banana of apes.
Wow, that would have been disastrous.
And they smacked him down. So congratulations to Edward M., not just for winning, but for winning against arch enemies, That exists around the world.
I don't even know what the postal rate would be to Brazil.
Oh, I know, because I sent stuff to our good friend down there, Guy.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
But we like him, so we don't mind paying it.
You know, and I have to disagree with you there. I think that they would love your dead stack in the tournament that actually pays money.
That's true.
It's the free rolls that they're not happy about. And speaking of free rolls, too, I think we got something to say about that, too.
Yeah, we another huge turnout for the free roll on Wednesday night. In fact, actually, it turns out there were two free rolls on Wednesday night. Who knew? Apparently, the Pot Limit Omaha free roll also was scheduled at the same time, 9 p.m. on Wednesday. So folks that signed in probably saw that and probably got into both. Unfortunately, again, thousands and thousands of people. So I don't know whether the registration started way too early or not. Or whether the interwebs are just working so well that so many people were getting the passwords, but I did have a conversation with my contact at Poker Stars today and let them know that the Omaha event went off last on Wednesday, like it shouldn't have. Sounds like he's going to try to reschedule for the original time on March 20th, so stay tuned for that. So a little freebie free roll.
Very cool.
Free reel. Free roll.
How do you say that in French?
Yeah, I don't know. You don't.
Well, our next Apes event is March 10th, coming up next week, and it'll be 9 p.m. Eastern time, and it's going to be Nolan and Hold'em again, but just a straight Nolan and Hold'em, right? No quirks, no...
Nothing fancy.
Nothing fancy.
All in English.
Okay.
Yep. And then we also, my Stars contact did notice that we had a lot of people in these free rolls, so, I did ask him to see what he thought we could do. So not trying to keep the whole free roll thing going, but I want to let the nation know that we are trying. So we'll see what happens. But definitely join us for the paid event, the real one, where you can win the Nanner on March 10th. And I should have mentioned this before, Chris, but no Poker Stars monkeys this year.
No, they're in hibernation. It's so cold.
Exactly. That was you got to make every year special, right? Because So you keep out giving out the same stuff, then. You know, it's not like we give bananas out every year, you know. We'll see whether we can come up with something else to go with the bananas. But the bananas are the true prize, right?
Yeah, that's what you're playing for. Just like when you play for the bracelet, all you're playing for is the bracelet, not the money. So what they're really looking for is the banana here. So we're happy to provide those again this year.
And while I was shopping in Montreal, Chris, I found a banana guard.
What the hell is that?
A little plastic case that you can put your banana in.
Oh, that's cool.
So, you know, for folks that, you know, are worried about the kids knocking over their banana trophy, you know, you want to catch a plane immediately to Montreal, go to the underground city, and buy a banana guard.
Oh, my God.
Well, it's not all fun and games this week, Chris. We were called out by a couple of our loyal listeners who happen to be of the female persuasion. Apparently, we've been unfortunately uncognizant of some sexist language on some recent shows, and I know I feel terrible, I know you feel terrible, and it's never our intention to offend any of our listeners except for each other, and so I think we will take this time to apologize for anybody that we may have offended over the last couple shows, and let everybody know that we're going to try really hard now to think about the language and the connotations that it might be taken into and do a much better job.
Absolutely, absolutely. Totally apologize. I've always been cognizant of that, you know, in the past, and sometimes, you know, you just start talking and you say things that, you know, you heard when you were a kid and you don't realize what I'm saying is sexist, and I should be, you know, more cognizant of it when I'm doing the show as well. So, yeah, definitely our apologies, and, you know, let's move on.
Absolutely. And one place that we're really focused on what we're saying is on our TV coverage. And, you know, we've told folks that we've went up to Jacksonville for the big Chad Brown event. We were in Chicago. And then we just recently started, Chris, the last couple of weeks, doing the hand analysis for these shows. And I don't know about you, buddy, but this is far more difficult than I thought it would be.
You know, I have to agree and I have to disagree. I agree because I think the deadline pressures that we're under and all the other things we do as well, you know, we don't have enough time to really sit there and study everything that we want to do and say.
That's true.
You know, if I'm Lon McCarron and you're Norman Chad, we're going to New York and we're getting put up in this nice apartment and we have
drinking Pabst.
A couple of days. Yeah, we got a couple of days to watch the footage ahead of time and talk to each other about it and what we want to say. The way we've been doing it is, okay, well, you got an hour here? No, I got a half an hour. All right, well, how about you got 2 hours tomorrow? All right, maybe I got – all right, let's drive down to the studio and get the video footage, and we're doing it on the fly. So I agree it is difficult, but I think if you and I – that's all we did, I think we'd be spot on, and it would be it would be much better product. But we're doing good. I think
we're selling ourselves short.
Yeah, no, it's just –
It's just a little more challenging.
It is. It is challenging. It's a lot more challenging. And, you know, whenever I watched Poker on TV, I used to always be like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? Did you say that again? Or, oh, my God, couldn't you find something better to say? And then when we're doing it, I mean, I find myself saying the same things or being cliche, and I'm like, don't!
Yeah, I think I told you this week when we were taping one more that it was apparent to me after seeing the rough cuts after Kirk put in our commentary that you watch entirely too much television and poker on TV, and I watch entirely not enough.
Clearly, that is exactly it.
So I guess together we're kind of the Reese's Cup of poker television
the
commentary.
The Reese's Cup. Oh, man, that's hilarious.
But definitely looking forward to doing more of these, and just like the podcast, I mean, really, geez, for our listeners that started out with us way back 5 years ago,
yeah,
or the folks that actually went back and listened to them, they've definitely seen an evolution from that first 5 minute show to where we are now. So I can only imagine, you know, 47 years from now, how we're going to be doing on the TV coverage.
Well, you know, the first show that's going to be aired is going to be the Chad Brown tournament from Jacksonville for us. And it's going to air this month in March in Florida, and then eventually April in Louisiana and May in Chicago. And then it's going to be on the web, too. So we're going to be everywhere.
Yes. So keep in touch on the. On our website and listen to the podcast, and you'll get the actual dates and stuff like that if you want to catch it. And then very quickly, we've got a special event coming up on March 11th, Thursday, at Derby Lane for our local listeners. World Series of Poker Bracelet winner, former Annie Up guest, Don Baruch, is going to be teaching a free two-hour strategy course there. We're going to be there kind of as lackeys.
Yeah.
And, you know, operating the little video thing. We're going to use some of the hands from the show to kind of illustrate some points. It's going to be pretty cool. So
very cool.
If you're around, come and check that out. And then probably the last time I'm going to announce the cruise, Mary Kolb, 727-733-3428. Just talked to her last night. Four cabins left. That's all we have left, Chris. Four cabins.
Very good.
So if you're one of those waiting the last minute to jump on the ship like Leonardo, you're not going to have a cabin left the day of. So...
Yeah, you're not gonna make that. You're not gonna make that full house to beat the Swedish immigrants and get on the boat. So.
So, call her today, nab your cabin, and we'll see you on board.
I'll never let go, Scott. I'll never let go.
You lie, just like he did.
Okay, let's hear what's at our Antiup news desk.
A Florida representative has introduced a bill in that state seeking to establish an interest rate online poker network open only to players physically in the state. Meanwhile, Iowa lawmakers will soon introduce a similar bill in their state, and I hope one of these two bills gives me some speech therapy.
Yeah, it's not like the TV show where we can just keep redoing takes over and over again, because I don't have the time to edit this show every week. So we're just going to let you stay interstate as many times as you want, and we'll move on. And I noticed you left the very difficult item for me in pronunciation here. Michael Olaf Schwett, a German national living in Naples, Florida, right down the street from us, is being held without bond after federal law enforcement officials say he controlled an elaborate series of online poker companies that the government alleges he used to launder vast sums of money.
Well said, my partner.
Thank you, buddy.
I tried to trip you up there with a lot of big words, and you knocked it out of the park on the first day of spring training. Way
you know,
to go.
This can only hurt the online poker argument, though. I mean, now they're saying they're using it for illegal purposes. This can't
be good. Yeah, it's an interesting. I kind of read the whole story. I didn't read the indictment, of course, because I get enough legal crap that I read every day anyhow. But,
yeah.
I mean, this guy is kind of like the epitome, at least on the surface. Obviously, he's still alleged now, but of kind of what people think of when they people that don't like online poker think of online poker.
Yeah.
He operated like 600 companies.
Oh my
and
God!
They all did the same thing with different names, and money went here, money went there. You know, banks asked him about it. He gave them different stories every time. So it's not good. And of course, you know, anything like that ultimately hurts the companies and the that they're doing it right. And but again, it was an unlawful Internet Gambling Enforcement Act kind of a relation to this thing, which I think was a problem.
Yeah.
So it's not really in effect yet, right?
Right, absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
All right, this last one. I love this one. Police in Idaho busted a poker game at a senior center where retirees play $20 tournaments each week, Chris. And they donated some of the winnings to the center. Iowa state law has a strict definition of illegal gambling. And wow, it must be strict. And the seniors now play for play chips only and are not very happy about it. But I don't think it's cards with anything. But, man, there's just not enough crime in Idaho, I guess, that the police need to bust in the doors of El Boca Vista.
Maybe they can start playing for potatoes.
At least, can you imagine that?
At least they'll be able to have something to eat when they're done.
Or buttons, like Junior from The Sopranos. The executive game there. Oh, man. That's crazy. Can you imagine playing a $20 tournament with a bunch of folks that are from the cast of Cocoon and having the police come there with guns drawn?
Look, I don't want to get accused of ageism, okay?
That is true. See, look at that.
Calm yourself down.
Man. I am sorry. Right. I am sorry.
Okay, so let's go to the hotline, 813-448-1120. This call this week comes from Andy Up King.
I was just calling to discuss your little situation about your teammates running out on you. Well, you know, the big deal is that you have made it down to where it was heads up. At that point, it's really not a team event, so I think you were cool.
All right, Chris. I'm trying to be nice. I am. But it's getting crazy with some of our listeners the how literal they get on things. For folks that haven't checked out the Annie Up Magazine forum at annieupmagazine.com/forum recently, there is just a mind-splitting back and forth going on between me and Gundam Poker over that bluff comment that I made just to kind of have fun on the show like a month ago. Remember that?
Yes, I vaguely remember the topic.
Oh, my gosh. And it's just the literalness of it, if that's a word that I just created. that's painful, and so this is not quite to that level, Annie Up King, but it is a team tournament. I mean, there's four people playing. You know, I guess a true tournament in literal sense, all four of you would be huddled around the two hole cards and whispering back and forth on how to play it, but this is not practical. So in terms of practicality, I think this team tournament is the best that we can do, and it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, and I don't know how serious he was with his comment either. It's difficult to see if he was just playing along with you because you were saying, is it a team tournament when I'm by myself and no one's around? So
that
maybe
could be.
Maybe he was just talking about that. But, you know,
I'm just amped up because the poor Idaho senior citizens are in trouble.
You're amped up. But I agree, though. I think that it's a team tournament, and you're as a team – You know, you play baseball, right? You play as a team, but when you go to bat, the whole team can't swing the bat, right? Only player can swing the bat when you get to that point. It's you against the pitcher, mano a mano. So
there
are
a lot of eyes and team.
You look really hard, there's a me. So, but thanks for calling in, and this week we're going to give you a set of Texas Hold'em strategy cards from greatpokerhands.com.
Yep, it's just one deck, so you can't share them with your team. So have fun with that.
Oh, man, now you're getting sarcastic. I love it when you're sarcastic. Pretty soon you're going to start calling me an ass. I can't wait.
Oh, yes. It's been a while. All right, our mailbag comes from another longtime listener, Jen Crothers. She used to live in Canada and then moved to, like, Australia, I think, and I don't know where she is. Where in the world she is now, probably hanging out with Carmen Sandiego.
I was going to say that.
Ah, see, I beat you to it. Oh! but this is a good question, and I'm interested in what you have to say about this, Chris. So All right, here goes. She says, I don't think I'm terrible at poker, and Jen, you aren't. We've watched you play. You're good. But she says, clearly I am. I play online and always lose my buy-in, usually $30 each time. Sometimes I lose it fast, 2 weeks, sometimes slow, 4 months. I play small stakes ring games and tourneys a couple times a week for about an hour each time. Anything I win, I eventually lose back again. So should I stop playing online? I'm a winner in my weekly home game. Perhaps I should just stick to that. I think to do that, I'll need to uninstall the software on my computer because it's just too tempting to throw my money away otherwise.
Welcome to the club. You know what? I've come to the conclusion that I am only playing online for entertainment, and I play live for my bankroll. And I think that if you lost $30 over 4 months, you've gotten a lot of entertainment for $30. These days, you can't even go to the movies with the family for less than $50. So yeah. I wouldn't uninstall, and I would just play when you want to be entertained and you're at home, you know, and play. If you're playing small stakes, maybe even play micro stakes and make it last as long as you want. Although I don't think it's absolutely a correlation, but I would play like the 1 cent, 2 cent, and think of it as a $1, $2 live game, even though it's clearly not that equal. If you feel like you're playing that way and that's how you would play live, then maybe just play the micro limits on stars or whatever and just enjoy it, you know, and just try out different things online and make $30 last 4 months. You'll be ecstatic. You know, I wouldn't give up on online play just because everyone has the itch to play randomly at one time when you're at home and you don't want to make the trip to the casino or arrange a last-minute home game. So I know exactly how you feel. I've had my bankroll swell and go broke many times online. But I'm now just playing for entertainment and strictly play pretty much apes online, and then occasionally I'll play some stud eight, you know, lower stakes. So that's how I look at it when I play online now.
I like that. That's perfect.
All right.
It is. It really is. You know, it's entertainment, and I know some of our listeners will be like, hey, it's not entertaining if I'm losing.
That's true.
And that's true. That's true. But the other thing, too, you got to understand about online that I think people forget is it plays faster. It's more convenient. And, you know, there's some perils in it that if you understand it, they're not so perilous anymore. But it's different than playing live or particularly in the home game, you know.
Yeah.
We look forward to have fun. So if you go into it having fun, then it's different.
And as a lot of people say, too, once they had this UIGEA thing, a lot of the poorer players, if that's a word, left mm-hmm. the game. And now you're really stuck with a lot of very good players who may even be playing small stakes just to try things out or just to secure a decent bankroll. So, you know, I'm sure the field has gotten tougher too. You combine those two things and you think, all right, my home game is my home game. That's easier for me because I've played with these people a long time. Online just has gotten tougher too. So just think of it as entertainment.
Yeah. All right. Well, Jen, we appreciate you writing in, and we got some swag for you. And I almost feel like I'm giving a beer to a drunk because I'll be giving you a $10 staking package from getastake.com. Get online, use this, have some fun with it, see whether you can run it up, and then maybe, you know, that might be the break you need to keep playing.
That's right. You know, sometimes free rolls are how people get their money and then take off, so you never know.
Greetings, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another 1 minute mystery, the case of the lucky break. We are in the second hour of a big field multi-table tournament, and the level is 120, 240, with an ante of 25. Folds to me on the button, and I'll make a positional raise here with what turns out to be ace of diamonds, eight of clubs.
Business as usual, sir.
I make it 720 in the small blind folds, but the big blind calls the 480 and has about 7,100 behind. The pot is 1680, and we see a flop of the four of spades, the nine of hearts, and the queen of hearts, and our big blind checks. I have position, and as I get ready to c-bet, I get more worried about the big blind's range and the effect of a check raise here. I decide to defer my usual c-bet and hope to benefit from position later in the hand. After I check, the turn card is the eight of spades, and now our big blind comes out firing 840, which is about half the pot.
I don't give up that easily, sir.
Now, I did improve. I do have position, and the bet size and the pot size is still not overwhelming. So I decide to call here and see if I can pick up any more clues or make a play on the river. It's not an aggressive play, but I'm hoping it looks strong. The pot is now 3360 when the river comes to two of diamonds, and our big blind suddenly bets out 2100 here. So now, what is your read, and does that mean you fold or call?
Remember, Sven, our friendly Poker Stars Porsche dealer? Sven's still very excited.
Yeah!
He already knows that PokerStars players together earn enough VIP points to redeem 5 Porsches every day. What's made him a little more excited is the fact that 5 of our PokerStars players have already claimed these lovely pieces of German engineering. Keep Sven happy. Visit PokerStars.com/VIP to find out why our rewards program seems to have left all the other schemes, well, stuck in neutral. PokerStars VIP Club, the best online poker reward program.
Scott, I had a chance to talk to Paul Wasika this week.
Giving him bowling lessons?
I thought about it. We actually brought that up, but it won't be in the show today. But you know, he tore his ACL recently, so I don't know if bowling.
Wow, a lot of that going on Annie Upkins.
I know. I think that, you know, if you have anything to do with poker and online play, you know, you have a bad ACL. Maybe it's from sitting down for so long. I don't know.
Got to get Dr. Frank to write a column on how poker affects your ACL, I guess.
Yeah, you know, I'm actually going to contact him about that because I think he's starting to run out of topics. I think this week it was like how to play with your mole while you're sitting at the table. You know what I mean? He's really cutting it thin, so we're going to see what we can come up with him. But, you know, you were in Canada, and I had to interview Paul for the magazine, so sorry you're not involved in this. So I just took the highlights from the interview. You know, I had to talk to him because he won the Tunica World Series of Poker Circuit Stop, the main event, and he's going to be on our cover. So I did a full profile on him, but here's a little taste of that interview. And you can read it about him and pretty much the full interview in our April issue when it comes out, either online or your local Southern card room. But we'll pick up this interview when I learned that he once turned $100 into $15,000 at the blackjack tables his first time out.
Awesome.
Basically, I wasn't even planning on playing any blackjack. I was just the trip was a skiing road trip with my buddy Jay. And we were going to take a month. This was back when we had absolutely no money.
Right.
And we're, you know, sleeping outside and you know, just cooking ramen on a little, you know.
A little Sterno or whatever.
Yeah, yep. And then we just decided to head into a casino. And I had $100 to gamble with. Like I said, we didn't have much money. And, you know, I just run good. So I run good in life and on the table. So, you know, I was basically just doing a simple martingale system with a little card counting.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was probably, you know, not counting the cards very well. But ended up basically what we would do is we would go into a casino and going into the casino, I know I was pissing off the blackjack gods, but I would go in and I'd be like, all right, I'm either going to bust everything I've won so far or I'm going to win $500. And then we would go in and half an hour later, I would win $500 and we'd leave.
Wow.
Or like, you know, sometimes it would take two hands or sometimes, you know, like it was just, it was always different. Yeah, I mean, every time we went in, I won. I think we went in probably like at least 20 times, and I only lost twice.
Wow.
And the two times I lost, I don't know why I didn't bust myself, but for some reason. Because every time I win, and I'm like, all right, I'm willing to go bust or win this much.
Right.
And then when you're martingaling, you know, like, so if you you know, run good and you don't, you know, need yourself to win a ton, like, you can have like some, you know, short good luck sessions, but I mean, not to say it won't eventually catch up, but yeah, I was running good and that was fun.
So the martingale, that's just when you're doubling your bet every time if you lose until you
get
money back,
exactly.
Right? Okay. You talked about one time about poker helping satisfy this gambling fix that you have. Do you still consider yourself a gambler as a poker player, or do you focus on poker now, or do you still do the other things?
Man, I would say that you can gamble in poker, but I mean, you know, that's just depending on how much volatility you want.
Okay.
But I would say that, poker does scratch an itch, you know, like a lot of poker players are kind of degens at heart.
Yeah.
And sometimes it can hurt them if they go play a negative EV game, but, poker, you know, is it's still a negative sum game, but if you put enough time and energy into it, then you can become good.
Does that mean you steer clear of the other games now, or do you still doubt
them? You know, I don't steer clear of them, but I recognize that when I play, I have to, you know, expect, obviously, to lose. So I still play for, you know, entertainment. Like, just last night, I was out playing some craps, but, you know, I'm not going to go out and put, you know, 60K on the table or 100, you know, whatever these guys are putting. I, you know, when I play, I'm betting, you know, $10 and, you know, but I'm still doing full odds and stuff, so I'm probably like up or down 1,000 or 2,000 when I play, you know, nothing huge, but I try to limit it for sure.
So I looked over your, some of your career stats, and it seems like you're really streaky. You'll win a lot for a while, then lose and take a break, then win for a while and lose and take a break. I think you were just coming off a break now when you went, you're on this tournament trail now with this win. Is that the case, and why do you think that is?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good observation. I think that it's coincidental, but it's also correlated at the same time. Like, I think that it's definitely a very streaky, like, just any sort of gambling or, you know, game like this is, you know, a stock market, like anything, like, is going to be up and down, up and down, up and down. It's just a matter of, you know, can you go on a run and, like, you know, can your stock boom, or, you know, can your stock bust? Yeah, I mean, you can. And whenever you're taking bad beats, you start playing worse, and your mentality is, you know, you start questioning yourself and this and that, and then so you'll start going really far, you know, down in a downward spiral, and you know, if you're a good enough player, you can turn it around. But you know, a lot of poker players, just about every poker player, you know, goes bust at some point.
Yeah.
Even though they might be a winning player, you know, they might not handle the downswings well, or they might not have good bankroll management, or this or that, you know, whatever their reason is. But it's very hard to just have a continuous upswing. Some players do it. It's amazing. But you know, and conversely, the luck goes the other way too. You know, when you're sucking out on people and hitting your cards and having your hands hold and you're playing with confidence and like everything seems to be going well, then you're going to be going deep, you know, time after time again, you know. So that's just where I'm at right now. I'm really excited. I'm playing really well. I really like where my mind's at when I play. You know, I'm running well at the table. So, you know, it's just a really exciting time because I know that this is just the beginning of not only a short-term, you know, incline on the little stock market graph, but also I just feel like this is a huge step in my career in general.
Clearly, it seems now that with maturity, you've been able to recognize these streaks and how to cut them off at the pass, you know, like the poker analogy, you lose a small pot and win a big one kind of thing. But when you were younger, you had tilting issues. I remember reading stuff about that and talking to you about it. But yet, at the same time, when you were tilting back then in poker, you had the discipline to stick with a job managing a restaurant for your brother-in-law because you promised him you would stick it out. Did you feel like you were like a walking oxymoron there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, he and I are not only brother-in-laws, but we're good friends. And the main thing that I really wanted to do was stick with my word. And I gave him my word that, because he knows my personality. He knows that I have a very tough time sticking with something, saying something and sticking with it, you know, for that period of time that I said I would do it. And I mean, it wasn't easy for sure. When, you know, towards the end of that year, I gave him a year, and you know, 9 months in, I'm having a lot of success playing poker. Right. But you know, I just really thought it was important for me as a person to stick with, for one time, you know, to stick with what I said I was going to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was just kind of for me personally, what I want to do. You know, also I think it might have helped my career because that was my problem before, was I tried to turn professional too soon.
Okay.
And it really just stagnated my growth as a poker player, turning pro too soon. And so sticking that out just kind of stalled me needing to use my poker money to pay living expenses, you know, because I still did have that paycheck coming in.
Yeah.
And so that just allowed my poker bankroll to just grow a little bit, even though I was spending a lot of my poker bankroll on, you know, stuff that I shouldn't have been spending it on. Like, I was a big spender initially, you know, I would I only had, you know, whatever, 20K bankroll, and I would go out and then I'd have like a $4,000 winning session, and then I'd spend it all. You know, that's not good. But, especially when you're playing 10-20 and you could lose 20K and easy in a downswing. So, I mean, like I said, there's various stages in my career where I got really lucky. You know, I really do believe in maintaining a positive attitude, and good things come if you just, you know, maintain your optimism, good attitude, and keep positive energy all around you. So,
and you of course brought up that you're uber competitive, and anyone who knows anything about you or has read anything about you, they know you've probably played all kinds of sports in your life. Is it true that you were contemplating the PGA Tour now?
that was a little bit of an impulsive blog.
Okay, because I did a little research that way, and
I did say that. I said that I was going to, because here's the deal with my personality. I have always been this way, where I like to kind of reach a level of attainment, I guess is the best way. I mean, that's probably not even the right word, but I like to reach a certain level, you know, and then move on to something else and conquer a new mountain, you know, like basically just, so with this recent time, the most recent time, it was, getting into sports betting. I really wanted to beat the NFL spreads and MMA. I still do the MMA, but I gave up the NFL spreads to rededicate myself to poker in 2010. But I mean, that's just another example of where I didn't stick with something fully, and I just moved on to something else. And then, you know, poker or golf was the same thing. I thought that I wanted to, you know, become a professional golfer, you know, and so, like, I always get these like illusions of grandeur, you know, like I think I could do this, you know, and then, and I think I could, but you know, I really think that I could if I gave my 110%, and that was the only thing I did, and I took it up, and I just focused on nothing but that, and you know, just basically did what I did with poker with another thing. But that's kind of starting over again, and I really think I have a good thing going with poker. So, you know, I think that I'm not going to say that it won't happen at some point in my life, but right as of right now, that's on, like, that's not even on the burner. That's not even on the back burner. That's like way off the table. So
there's always the senior tour too, you know, if you change your mind. So to backtrack for a second, you talked about the way you go in life is you strive to get to a certain level at something, know you've accomplished it, you've become one of the best or whatever, and then you move on. Do you feel like that's going to happen in poker? Like, let's just say you win the main event this year. Let's just say it happened. Is that something that, oh my God, I've reached the pinnacle, I've won the main event, especially now in this time and age, I've got a circuit ring, I've got the heads-up championship. Is that something where, okay, you've proved it, and now you're going to move on because you've got enough money and that kind of thing? Or no, it's just, this is going to be your livelihood?
Well, I can't answer that question with 100% certainty either way.
Right.
I can tell you that most likely I would continue playing poker because it's something bigger than that to me right now.
Okay.
Right now, for me, it's more than just winning a tournament or winning the most money or this or that. You know, it's I know what I want to accomplish with my life right now. I know basically what I'm playing for. I'm playing, you know, basically to support people, family, causes that I believe in, and poker is the best way for me to gather wealth at this moment in my life. So, great. Yes, if I win that, I would be able to do a lot of that with all that money. But I don't know. I don't know if I would necessarily give it up. I love poker too much. I think I would at least play some main events and stuff. But I mean, that's kind of what I got caught up doing when I was doing the sports betting, is I wasn't giving 110% to poker, and it's become so competitive that if you're not giving it your 110%, no matter how, you know, lucky you think you are or naturally gifted you are or any of that, like if you're not giving it your all, other people are going to come and overtake, you know, your level. It's just inevitable with how much money's at stake, how competitive other players are. Like all the fields are really, really tough. It's not like, you know, it's not easy by any means when you go out and you're playing. So, and it's just going to get tougher, you know, over the years. So, you know, I really feel like it's important that I either do, you know, focus on it 110%, or if I want to focus on something else, just take maybe a little break and then maybe come back to it, or who knows. But, you know, I really know myself, and I know that a lot of times I say stuff or I do stuff that's really, you know, impulsive, and you know, that's just me. But so I'm trying to work on just being like, who knows? We'll see. I don't know if I'm going to be in Boger in 5 years. I don't know if I'm going to be in, but I mean, I think I am. I mean, I love the game.
Okay.
I do. The game is just, it's unbelievable. As far, if you know me and my personality, like, it just fits so perfectly with me. Like, you know, I have a little gamble in me. I have a little risk in me, but you know, I also really enjoy like the math side of it, like hand ranges and percentages and like all that. And then the physical read aspect of it, you know, like it's an awesome game.
This is Paul Wasica, and you're listening to Annie Up, and you can check out my website at quickfish.com.
An old friend has sent us the hand of the week this week, Chris.
An old friend.
Well, he's not that old.
Okay.
It's not like he's playing poker in Idaho. Old. But Brian Diobold, he lives here in the Tampa area right now, but he's getting ready to ship out to Virginia. He's in the military. Uh-huh. And part of a he's got his own ship, it sounds like. So we got a chance to talk to him a couple weeks ago at an event we were at, and he sent in a hand that's a little different. All right?
Uh-huh.
You ready for a little different hand?
Well, normally we would bring in Lee Childs here.
Oh, that's right,
but,
yes.
But good news, we have another Annie Up National in the world, because Lee's a daddy.
Yes. And, see, it just took him being on the show last week.
And his name is Braden Wiley, which I thought was a really cool name, although I was offended it wasn't Christopher Scott. But that's all right. We'll move on.
It is, and Lee did apologize for that. And I said, hey, Lee, don't worry about it, man. We're just happy for you. Tell Jenny everything is great.
Yeah.
And when he turns 18, we'll address the name at that point. we'll get that all straightened out.
That's right. So
he seemed to be fine with that. So.
So, Brian, I apologize in advance for the bad beat I'm about to give you. because I am going to try to analyze this hand of the week for you, sans, or should I say, sans limi, without li, sans li.
All right, this is a hand that I picked because the actual hand, it's not a bad hand. It's not probably the texture of our normal hands of the week, Chris. But there are some things influencing the hand that I think players run into often. We don't talk about probably enough on the show. Mm-hmm. In this particular hand, it was during an Aces Crack promotion that was going on at Derby Lane here in the St. Pete, Tampa area.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right. Now, the promotion, if you get your Aces Cracked, you get $100 or, you know, as it's normally called, Aces Crack wins a rack.
That's right.
I've never actually won a rack. Every time my Aces get cracked, there's no promotion anywhere. So he wrote in with this particular hand because he wanted to get our perspective on playing aces when you have these crazy promotions going on, all right?
Right.
Sounds like fun. All right, so it's a $1, $2, no-limit hand, nine-handed. He started out the table when it opened. He said he'd been sitting there for about an hour, played only two hands. Sounds like me. Shown down both, 9-9 and queen-queen, so apparently he only plays pairs. Starting stacks were all about 100. He was up to 143 now, so I guess those pairs were good for us.
Yeah.
And he says the small blind and big blind were both a little less than 60. All right. He's under the gun with ace of spades, ace of diamonds. So he's won already. He wins a hand, he wins money, he gets cracked, he wins money. And he raises to 3x, and he says this is the same raise he made with a 9-9 and queen-queen. Now, what do you think, Chris, about the 3x raise in a 1-2 game?
Not good. Whenever I play at a card room like Derby Lane, it's always $10, $12, or $15. Not that that would even really get people to fold when you're under the gun.
That's true.
But you really have a better chance of getting people to lay down their hands, especially when you're under the gun, you're making it that big. So $6 is not going to get any hand to fold that has any value at all. So, which is sad. I think it's really sad.
It is. Unfortunately.
But it's true. Yeah, but it's true.
So you probably go to at least 10 then, right?
Yeah, I would probably make it 10 or 12. You know, sometimes I shove because I got to tell you, I get callers when I shove too. You know, guys calling me with like 4 or 5 when I shove because they're just being a wise ass. So, but yeah, I would probably make it 10 or 15 here.
Well, you know, that's an interesting move, particularly with the, because the theme of this hand is the Aces Crack promotion. But
yeah.
But you're right. You're in the worst position. You're under the gun. Obviously, you got a strong hand. You don't want a lot of customers here. But you make that move, and people kind of chuckle, and then you got somebody that's gunning for you at the other end of the table. They call you. I mean, the worst you're out is $43, because if you lose the hand, you're going to get 100 back anyhow.
Right.
And chances are you're probably going to win the hand. And so, interesting. All right. Well, I like the $10 raise, particularly begin at Derby Lane, because we play their offense. We know how the players are. You know, you want to drive the customers out.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you get one or two, maybe then you're happy. But any more than that, then those aces get really tricky to play.
Agreed.
All right. Well, he makes the 3x raise. Surprisingly, Chris, it folds around to the small blind. the parimutuel teller must have been at the table or something. People weren't paying attention to their hands. The small blind and big blind both call. And he says the both appear to be regulars at Derby because they knew each other. Very tight. Haven't played a hand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
okay.
Kind of played, but we went with ace-ace.
Yeah.
All right. Pot's $18. Flop comes king of clubs, jack of hearts, nine of hearts. Small blind checks, big blind checks. It's on us.
As our good friend TJ would say, we don't like this board at all, and it's a coordinated board, and this is why we wanted to raise much more preflop. I'm not happy with this at all. This could have hit so many hands and already beaten us so many hands. I'm nauseous just looking at what I've written down here. It's just I am. It's too bad. I have a feeling this is not going to be good. They both checked. You said.
We'll check, though.
Yeah. So the pot's like almost 20 or 20 bucks.
Yeah,
so.
It's 18 bucks, he says.
Jeez. Minus
of course, but.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, I guess I got to shove, you know, and see if somebody's got me beat. Hopefully it's a stack that's way smaller than mine, and if I get them cracked, I'll win 100 and actually make money on it. So I'm actually shoving here. I think
right,
I'm
so you're going to bet $137 into the $18 pot.
I am going to do that. Actually, do we know what the small blind and big blind have?
They both said they had a little less than $60.
All right, so a little less than 60. I can't lose, really. Because I put in 10, so they have 50 each now. You know, if I lose to 50, I'll be down, what, $9 maybe, whatever? So, yeah, really. Yeah. You know, why not? You know, see if somebody calls me. You know, I mean, I realize you could play it craftily and try to get more money out of people and stuff, but this is such a coordinated board. I feel like I'm already behind. I really do. I feel like for two blinds to call me, they have to have a hand like queen 10, a pocket pair that maybe set it, although I doubt it. I just feel like I'm behind here. It could easily be king jack.
Yeah, it could be two pair.
Yeah, yeah. So I have no problem trying to get heads up with one guy and maybe lose $60 on this hand, but then win 100 and win 40. So,
right.
You know what I mean? So if they have $60, if I shove, I'm still going to win $40. So either way, why not just, who cares if they're going to get all their stack? Either I'm going to win 60 or I'm going to win 40. I mean, I guess I could win 120, but I doubt they're both going to call my all in. And even if they did, I'd have to, if they did, I know I'm behind. So, geez. I don't know. I don't mind. If I bet the pot, which is like $20, and they have 50 left, you know what I mean? If they shove, I can't fold anyway. So why not just shove? Because I'm really only, in essence, betting $50 here. So.
Well, I guess the this is why I love this hand, because of, I mean, look, the extra level you got to think of because of the Aces Crack promotion, right?
Yeah.
And so I guess at this point, since I've got that insurance policy, and it's not a great insurance policy, it's not like, you know, I can't lose too much, but... I wonder if you still try to squeeze some money out, and if they catch up, or if you really are already behind now, I mean, you're going to get it all in anyhow, right?
Yeah.
So I guess that's what I'd be worried about by losing by shoving, is trying to get, you know, a little bit more money out of these guys if they actually don't have a hand that beats us. If they do have a hand that beats us, it doesn't matter because we've got the aces cracked to fall back on.
Yeah, no, I mean, absolutely. When you think about it over and over now, if they have 50 bucks and you know you can't lose here, that you're going to make what essentially is, what, maybe 50 bucks or whatever. If you're going to make like 50 bucks no matter what, then maybe you don't shove because maybe you can get crafty and try to get two guys to come along. The problem is if you bet here and they both fold, then you only won 20 when you know you could have won 40 if you shoved. That's what, or whatever it is, 50. So it's kind of an interesting situation. Maybe I would just play it normally,
yeah,
and try to get as much out.
You're right. You got to figure the math here because, I mean, there's $100 at play here.
Yeah.
If you lose and you keep the pot small.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, you're right. You might even want to check here and hope that they do beat you because there's only another, well, if they call six, so another $108 on the table. I mean, you're guaranteed 100 if they lose the hand.
Yeah. So maybe you check it. Maybe you don't.
You get a both all in. The best you can win here is what, 120 plus what you put in already?
Yeah.
I think I'm checking here.
Check it down, man. Well, the problem is, though, if you check it down and you're good, then you won $15 or whatever the hell it is.
See?
Yeah, so.
What a mind bender. What a mind bender.
Oh, man, this is pretty insane. All right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to play the hand normally. I'm going to bet pot.
You're going to bet pot.
Yeah.
All right, I kind of like that, to be honest, because, you know, here's the thing is we made the initial raise. People are going to expect us to make another bet. We can't really lose with that bet, so we might as well make it. And if we could check raise, you know, fine, whatever. Yeah. And, you know, we're not going to fold it, so.
Yeah.
But maybe that's a way to squeeze, you know, an extra 15, 20 bucks out of each of these guys, and we end up winning, then that's the way to maximize it.
Yeah, and then, you know, and if they suck out, we got the backup insurance policy. It's like a free roll. But
it's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, free roll with contingencies. It's weird, you know. With a little. All right, so let's say we play normal. I'm gonna bet $20 here.
All right, our hero bets 15 here. Remember the pot was 18, so he bets 15. Both players call.
Okay, we're screwed. But you know what? We got that insurance policy, so it doesn't matter.
That's right. All right, so the pot's $63. The turn now is an 8 of hearts. So our board now is king of clubs, jack of hearts, 9 of hearts. 8 of hearts, so all kinds of draws got there that if they weren't already there on the flop.
Good God.
And the small blind bets $10 out of what appears to be his 40 remaining. And the big blind calls $10 out of what appears to be his 40 remaining. And now what do we do?
Well, if I'm playing it normally, I am just calling here because so many hands beat us and I might as well keep the other guy around because only one person's going to win this hand probably. And if it's not me, I might as well just call the $10 and keep it as little as possible because I think I'm beat definitely here and there's no reason to shove now. So I think I'm just going to call, try to keep the other guy around. And if I do win, I'm probably winning the same amount anyway. And if I lose, now I've got, you know, less that I've taken from my stack and I win the full 100. So I'm just going to call here. I like calling here.
Yeah, yeah, because I think our best chance of making money now is the promotion.
Yeah, I think so too.
And at least the money we put in, and we win that promotion regardless of how much money we put in.
Yep, that board is way too coordinated for us to win. I mean, and who knows, they may have something even bigger than what the board is showing. You know, I have no idea, but easily a straight, a flush, and two pair could just have us trounced. So I like the $10 call here, so that's what I would do.
Yeah, actually, I'm ecstatic that somebody bet out $10 because now I can keep the pot pretty small.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, they're both short stacks, so who knows what's going to happen in the river. But, all right, good. Well, we all call, including our hero.
Oh, he does call? That's a good call. I think it's a good call. I think that's all right.
Now, he says, Chris will probably berate my call here. Now, Chris.
No, I just agreed with him.
You got to start being nicer to our listeners, man. There's no reason to berate them.
Well, this is the new improved French Chris. I'm nice and I'm drunk, so.
Oui, oui. All right, so here's what he was thinking. He's like, I'm pretty certain that I'm beat. I think we agree. They just wouldn't bet into me without a made hand, better than ace, of course.
Right.
But now I think that if I keep the pot small, I can win at least the money invested so far back from the promotion plus some extra. That's why I decided to call. So, yeah, see?
It makes total
sense. We all came to the same conclusion.
Wow. This is a boring hand now.
Yeah.
From being exciting to being boring. Let's stop.
We'll see what can happen. Maybe we'll find something on the river that can make it exciting.
Okay.
Not sure what that would be, but... All right, the river's the four of clubs.
Oh, bingo, bango, bongo. That's huge.
Putt's 93 bucks. So our final board now is king of clubs, jack of hearts, nine of hearts, eight of hearts, four of clubs. And apparently, he doesn't say, but he's betting first here, so it must have got checked to him.
Huh. Well, first I'd like to take a moment here to congratulate you on not saying the ace of hearts. And now we'll move on. So, all right, so they checked to us. That's weird. Maybe they're afraid of each other's hands, maybe? And so you said he bet?
Well, here's what's confusing about the hand. And, Brian, I'm sorry, buddy. I got to call you out here. He says he bets $15 as a blocking bet, hoping not to get raised too large. At this point, I think if they aren't checked to me, I might as well just check it down, right?
Yeah, why even bet?
I'm not worried about putting a bet in, and right?
Yeah,
am I missing something?
Well, no, I don't know why you'd even bet. I would just check on the end, and if I'm good somehow, I've made the money I would have made had I gone broke against these $60 pots or guys who had $60 in their stack. So
yeah, you make 93 minus the rake versus losing, you'd win $100.
Yeah.
So I mean, I guess it's not insignificant. There's a little difference there. I mean, it's probably at max rake. Obviously, at max rake now, so you're looking at $88 in the pot.
Yeah. No, I would have just checked there and been happy with. And if I lose the hand, I check. You know, I mean, and if I lose, I've only committed what $10, $25 in the race, $31. So. Yeah, I would have just checked there, and if I lose, I've committed 31, and I'm winning 100. It's winning 70 or 69, so I'm just checking there. There's no reason to bet at all.
All right, now I'm thinking if he bets the 15, all right, so now the pot is and he gets called. Now the effective pot is
138,
because you don't want to count the 15 you put in. So,
yeah. Well, if he gets called by two people.
Yeah, right, yeah, that's true. Very interesting.
Yeah, I would just check. I got no reason to bet here. I mean, that's a scary board. They bet into me at one street, and they called my raise initially, so they probably had decent hands to start with. So I'm just checking here and hoping to put in the least amount of money, and then hopefully I'm getting beat, actually, and then it's kind of weird. Yeah. Hoping to get beat.
All right, so he makes his $15 blocking bet. Both players just call. And so he figures up the math. He's put in $46 in his hand, Chris.
Uh-huh.
$25 after realizing or deducing that his ace probably wasn't good. Small blind turns over 9-9.
Oh my God!
Set of nines. Big blind turns over jack.
No way!
A set of jacks.
No way! Oh, my God.
Well, if you look at this board, too, I mean, I think, obviously, the two sets probably were deducing what we thought about the flop, right?
It must be that. But even that, you got to try to get heads up with the under-the-gun player because you've got a set, and you know he's got ace, king, or aces, probably.
And when that turn comes, that is a killer card for all three of the hands in this.
Oh, my God.
And, now, I don't know whether either the nines, well, actually, both the nines and the jack on the board were the hearts, so it's not like they had any flush possibilities, so now they had a boat up. So interesting how that hand played out.
Wow.
Now, Brian says he lost $46 in the pop, but gained $54 back from the house promotion, so hey, he's a winner, even though he lost.
Oh, man, that's just a sick, sick hand all around. I can't believe they all had pocket pairs like that. The both blinds did, and then both blinds flopped sets, and only bet $10 on the turn or just call the 15 on the flop. I mean, I'm scared of that flop when I have aces, but when I flop a set, I mean, I got 10 outs twice on the turn and river to protect my hand in case I'm beat at that moment.
And they're both short stacked too.
Oh,
I mean,
man, they're both short stacked.
You've got to call in a reasonable bet, so you might as well try to push people off the draws if they have them, right?
Well, that's crazy. That is crazy.
At least maybe think about check raising on the flop, but even that's kind of crazy. But
wow!
But they got they both check, and then they get the bet from our hero, and then they don't raise.
I have to admit, this is probably one of the top three hands of the week we've ever had. And you know what? I'm not even being funny. I know you're laughing, but really, this is really one of the most interesting hands that we've ever come across because there are so many ways to play it and so many things that were happening. And then on top of it, a set over set beats our aces. I mean, that was – and they were in the blinds. This isn't – it's like I think Brian made it up. No soup for you. I think you made that hand up just to get on the show. No, he's a military man. He wouldn't do that. But still, I mean, that was incredible. That is really a wild – wacky hand.
Wild, wacky hand. Straight from Ed McMahon's hay.
Thank you. I'm glad you picked up on that.
All right, Brian. Well, we appreciate you sending in this wild, wacky hand and bending our mind a little bit. We normally would send our normal swag out, but you know what, Chris? I've got this little thing that's been in our swag show for a while, and I've been holding on to it for a member of our military, and it's a Screaming Eagle card protector from PokerFaces.tv. It's part of that Wounded Warrior project, right?
Yeah, very cool.
Some of the money goes to that. So, you know, it seems like it's only appropriate to give that to somebody who's actually in the military, right?
Very cool. Very cool.
So, Brian, you already sent us our address. We appreciate that. So we'll pop that in the mail here pretty soon. Enjoy that on your new assignment. And everybody else, email your hands to podcast@antiupmagazine.com. And hopefully in between changing diapers, Lee Childs will have some time to step in and help us in the future. Yeah.
Good point. Well, I want to thank Paul Wasika for being available for an interview, and hope everyone enjoyed it. I'm Chris Cosenza.
I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the tables.
Annie Up is a production of AnnieUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@AnnieUpMagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.